For this Sunday morning service, we're going to go from Colossians. You can remain seated. I want to touch on a part of Scripture that is very powerful in the understanding of who we are. So Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 12 through 17. We're going to continue reading this in Jesus' name. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness in mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. We ask, Father, that you would continue to inspire us in and through your word, that you would encourage us to serve yet another day. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know truly, Father, your word is truth. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As I opened up with, we talk about New Year's. We often, I don't know how it is, maybe when you get older it's not as important, but when you're younger you really think about it more and more. I don't know. Maybe older people still think about it. New Year's is basically about new hopes, new dreams. But it really can also mean new unknowns, new struggles. But the one thing that's always consistent and constant in and through it is our God. No matter what we may be performing, no matter what we may be taking on, the one thing that we are assured of is that God is consistent with His love and with His encouragement all the way through. I don't know if we're going to be heading this coming year into more successes in our personal lives. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be facing more difficulty. I don't know, in all honesty, if it's going to be just mundane business as usual. But there are some things that we can actually do to help encourage change in our life. First of all, we can take a conscious effort to try to change certain things. And we have to be consistent with that. I guess the average is 21 days for a new habit to start. We could be consistent. In the areas of spirituality, we could very strongly commit to studying the Word of God, listening to more podcasts, trying to be encouraging, reading. But we have to be consistent. We also, in business, could take the same standpoint. We could have more quotas. We could have more goals. We could set up pie charts. And we could set up graphs and all kinds of things. And we could try to figure out how much more we got to add to be able to get more out. We could take it in our personal lives. We could decide that maybe having everything of this world, having all the monetary things is not always what I'm looking for. Maybe I actually want to have more relationships. Maybe I actually want to enter into this world and I want to start meeting more people, encouraging more people, and be encouraged by people. But all of these things take effort. We have to put ourselves out there no matter what. In all of these applications. But the one thing that we can say is a constant that is awesome is that God will continually be with us in and through these situations. Maybe things won't turn exactly as I thought, because maybe it's not in the will of God for me to have this or this or this. But it doesn't mean that He will abandon me. This text really brings out some very powerful understandings of how God allows us, if I could say it in that fashion, to operate. We really can't just jump right into our text here. We actually have to look at the beginning of this text in Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 through 3, I'm going to read. If then you have been raised with Christ, now Paul is speaking to the believer. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, he says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things of things above, not of things of earth. And then he tells us, he says, for you have died, and your life is hidden in Christ. Paul is speaking, in reality, to the baptized believer. He's saying very straightforward, as also in Galatians it brings out, that in and through baptism you are brought to death, but yet you are also resurrected in Christ. Now you don't live to yourself, but now you are living in Jesus Christ as believers. So he very straightforward comes across. He says, now understanding that you've been raised with Christ, seek the things above. How often do we do that? It seems like sometimes, and I don't know how it is for you, and I can't bring challenge to your life, that's for sure. You only can do that. Seems like often Jesse has a tendency to focus on so many earthlies that I can have a tendency to forget the heavenly. It seems that I have a tendency to work so hard for things I'm going to have to let go of. And that's okay. But it's not everything. There is something much more and such greater expanse than just this earthly life. There is this heavenly life that we all strongly achieve for. So when we talk about New Year's, we talk about changes, we talk about direction. Let me ask you a question, and you don't have to answer audibly, but you can answer in your mind. Have you received enough on this earth? I'm not saying you're done. I'm saying materially, have we received enough? I can answer. I'm blessed. I'm very blessed. I have received enough. Does it mean I don't want any more earthly? Probably not. But I am blessed. If God is willing to bless us, even allow us to be blessed upon this earth, how much greater will it be even when we enter into the eternal? He says, understanding that you have been raised up in Christ. He says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. And where is Christ? He's at the right hand of God the Father. And what does Scripture say he's doing there? He's making intercession for us. He's an advocate on our behalf. That Christ is there in heaven, in reality, telling God the Father, I have paid the penalty. I have done the work. They are mine. Man, wouldn't that be awesome if we could take that into our earthly life? If we could turn around and we could tell, you know, in reality, call up UPCO one day and say, you know what, UPCO, I'm all set. It's all been paid. I don't owe another bill for the rest of my life because in all honesty, so-and-so has paid it. And they look it up on their fancy computer and they say, you're right. It doesn't matter how much power you use. It doesn't matter anything. It's all taken care of. That's our earthly life. Important to us, yes. But your spiritual has been paid for by the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have been joined together with Him, and if we could say it in a very simple term, by faith. We have received that grace, that unmerited favor, that the bill is paid. It's paid. He says, so seek the things of heaven because Christ is there. He's at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on the things that are above, not of earth. This is so difficult for us because we live in this reality right now. But we miss the ultimate reality. This is temporary. And it's temporary feelings. I have no idea why I was thinking this today, but I have to just get it out there because it's in my mind. When I was standing there at the lectern and I was going to do the reading, something made me think of Teresa Wagner. Never once did she wake up that morning thinking that she wouldn't be with us. But yet, she is in eternity. rejoicing with her Lord. In other words, I'm saying this for the point of we all, most of us knew who she was. She was very dear to us. I remember we were having a Camp Lefty meeting, and I came into the church building. And when I walked in, everybody was so sober, and I couldn't figure out what was going on here. And finally, someone came up to me, I believe it was Pastor Jerry, came up to me and said, Teresa died. And I remember being so shocked by it, the first thing out of my mouth was, our Teresa? And he said, yes. Who would have ever thought that you'd be walking in a door to go to a Camp Lefty committee meeting and be told that one of your best friends, your pastor's wife, is gone? It's not saying this to depress. But sometimes we get so caught up on this earthly thing. Guess what? We didn't even have that meeting. It didn't matter. Because something more important stepped in. He says, set your sights on the things of heaven, not the things of earth. He says, because in reality, you have entered into this spiritual death. He says, and your life is now hidden in Jesus Christ. This is where you are. And then you come along and you look at the text that we actually have that Pastor might actually preach on, speaking about this new life. He says, put on then, as God's chosen ones. And this really means electing Christ. He says, understanding who you are in Jesus Christ, put on, he says, compassionate hearts. Doesn't that change your perspective a little bit? He says, understanding that you have been purchased, that you have been redeemed, that you have died to self and entered into Jesus Christ and now are resurrected with Him. He says, now you understand that you have this ability. It's not by your own strength. It's in Christ to have compassionate hearts. So as we look to the new year, how are we going to look on what we can achieve or what we can do, what we can build? Or are we actually going to look at how can we help? How can we encourage? Jesus spoke about compassion a lot in the New Testament, and you've heard me explain it many times, but I think this is so vital. Having compassion on people is not just feeling sorry for them. It actually has an understanding of having sympathy for them, but also with the means and the ability to help them. And Jesus did this. Multiple occasions. He saw the people out in the wilderness starving. It says He had compassion on them. He says, we're going to feed them. They're like, how are we going to do that? He moved with action, with love, and He took care of the needs. He says, now, as chosen ones, as those that are elect in Jesus Christ, He says, put on these compassionate hearts, these willing hearts, able to see an issue and deal with an issue. He says, have kindness. Have humility. Have meekness. And be patient. Are we patient? As we come to the new year, can we turn around and we say, Lord, please give us these hearts of compassion that we may be able to help. Helping isn't always writing a check. That's not what I'm talking about. Being carnal, we have a tendency to turn there. It may be in prayer. Helping may be not writing a check. It may be in giving a ride. It might be cooking a meal. It might be sharing the gospel. Kindness. Humility. Not thinking of oneself higher than we ought. Having this tenderness and this meekness when dealing with people. I'm not speaking necessarily about Zion Church. But I've dealt with enough churches and I've dealt with some pretty harsh legalism. Not saying it's always the case, but I've dealt with it. And it never seems meek. It never seems kind. It never seems compassionate. It seems hostile. It seems actually very aggressive and cold-hearted. He says, that's not who you are. He actually lays that out previously in 3, saying very plainly, you once walked, and he says, and you really lived in this fashion of anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk. He says, you had those issues before, but now that you are buried and risen in Christ, he says, have compassionate hearts, kind hearts, humility, meekness, patience. He really speaks here about a servant's heart. And he gives the example of that. He says, bear with one another. Because when you deal with a compassionate heart, you deal with this kindness, when you have this humility, when you deal in this meekness, and you have patience, it actually gives you this ability. That's what the next verse comes in. You have the ability to bear with one another. He says, and really, if someone has a complaint or a struggle or a battle, he says, forgive them. Is that what we do as believers in Jesus Christ? Or do we hold grudges? Do we go back to what he spoke of in the old, that we used to have anger, wrath, malice, slander, a talk obscene out of our mouths? We used to lie. Forgive. And then he turns around and he speaks very strongly in this fashion. Why should we forgive? Because God has forgiven you. Remember, he just listed who we were. If God so can forgive us, in this upcoming new year, can we not forgive one another? Or do we have to wait until they say the right thing or do the right thing for us to forgive? He says, as the Lord has forgiven you, he doesn't leave room for error. He says, so must you forgive. And then he turns around, and I think this is awesome because he continues to bring this into a fashion of how we are able to actually do this. First, he tells us what to do, to have compassionate hearts, to have kindness, have humility, have patience, and having all of these things will lead to forgiving in reality. He says, but above all these, put on love. He says, put on love. Or charity, as it says in King James. He says, which actually, he says very plainly, what is love? We even say it in the scripture. I talked about it last week. God is love. He says, really be clothed by God. Be clothed by his righteousness. He says, put on this love. He says, and this love in reality will bind everything together in perfect harmony. Isn't that true? If we stop and consider it for a moment, now we may not see it all the time in the church. I'm talking about amongst the people. And I'm even going past our walls here. Let's bring it home. We can see it with our children. That we will put up with some pretty goofy behaviors and pretty goofy things in our lives without cutting off a relationship with our children. Why? Because we love them. We love them. My wife and I have been watching this series on Netflix. It's the Bible. I watched it probably 4 years ago with all the confirmant students. Not the confirmants, the youth group, when we were trying to do a youth group here. I'm not saying everything's accurate in there. I'm not trying to make some sort of debate over the biblical authenticity or how accurate, that's the word I'm looking for, that it is. But it makes you think. People were real. They were real. We sometimes have this imagery of the Old Testament. We have this imagery of, like, you know, Abraham going through the whole sacrifice of Isaac, and we think, well, yeah, that was God told him to do it, so it's easy to do. It couldn't have been! But yet, even in that depiction on that series, you could see in his heart and in his mind the struggle he was going through doing this. And the relief. Have you ever thought about that? The relief that there was when that lamb was shown. That he didn't have to sacrifice Isaac. Why was it so painful to him? Granted, it's a depiction, but boy, unless the guy's cold-hearted, I can't see it not being kind of accurate. Because he loved. And love is not unkind. He says, put on love. This will bring things in perfect harmony. We will be able to work with the unworkable when we do it in and through Jesus Christ by that love. He says, now, in this same reference, let the peace of Christ actually, it says, rule. But this would be a good way to say it. Be a referee. Let the peace of Christ be your referee. Let you make decisions according to His peace, according to what He would desire. We turn around and we make that statement all the time in our lives and we say, if God so wills. What does that mean? If God wants. Well, in and through the situation that you're facing, in and through the changes in your upcoming year, in and through your growing in grace, what would God want? It's not about me. It is for me. Through Him. He says, let the peace of Christ actually empire, referee your hearts, rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. We are called to work within this unit. We are called to work within the body of Christ. He says, and be thankful. How often are we thankful? That even in through some of the struggles, even in through some of the difficulties, you know what? Some of them may just stink. But we can learn through them. We can grow through them. We can be encouraged. And we can encourage others. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He says, unable to be able to do any of this, the word of Christ must dwell in you richly. I love how Jesus Himself in the Gospel of John says very plainly about His Word. He says, you are made clean. How? He says, in the Gospel of John, you made clean through the Word that I speak to you. Go all the way back to the beginning of our message. Are we looking for spiritual change in the upcoming year? Are we looking for encouragement? How are we going to receive it? Through His Word. To be dedicated to spending time in His Word, listening to His Word, and being encouraged by His Word. But if there is not the voice of the shepherd in the Word that you're listening to, whether it be on podcasts or anything, if there's not the voice of the shepherd in there, don't listen to it. What I mean by that is there needs to be love, restoration, and hope. Not condemnation. Not anger, not vengeance. He says very plainly, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly. He says, and then in this fact, there's a comma there. He says, you'll be able to teach, you'll be able to admonish, and that doesn't just mean to beat into submission, it actually means more or less to correct, also encourage. He says, to teach, correct, and encourage one another through all wisdom. That wisdom is Him. He says, and continue to sing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He says, comes back to this point, with thankful hearts. He says, with thankfulness, because in reality God dwells within you. And then He turns around and He says, no matter what may be going on, no matter how your life may be going, no matter what direction you may be trying to go into, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. I would say that very seriously, not just in spiritual matters. I would say that very seriously in earthly matters. I remember having an elder pastor come to me one time, and he asked me, he said, do you think it's wrong that I would pray for my business? I said, I think it would be wrong not to pray for your business. Because God allows you to take unrighteous mammon and distribute it to righteous people. You have a responsibility. God is not just the God of our spiritual, He's the God of our incomplete lives. Everything we own is on loan from Him. And whatever you do, He says, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks to God the Father through Him. He says, really, because this is the ability to be able to carry out anything we've just spoken of. He says, no matter what we do, Paul is telling us in Colossae, he says very plainly, in all that you do, seek God, seek love in all your actions. We're going to make a lot of commitments, whether we like to admit it or not. Maybe you guys aren't like me. But on New Year's, we kind of want to be nicer, want to be kinder, maybe lose some weight, maybe be more generous, maybe be more spiritual, maybe live more healthily. Do it all through Christ, because He is the one to give you that ability. I pray your new year is awesome. I pray that you see things that you have never seen before, and that God opens His Word, and things are revealed to you that you never imagined. But I truly pray, and I mean this sincerely, that each and every one of us find peace in Christ Jesus. Because that's where it's at. Happy New Year. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to gather around your word. And we know, Father, that we can't see beyond our own lives personally, for sure, to know what people are going through. But if there are issues, there are struggles, and there are concerns in our life, we know there are in others. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We pray in behalf of ourselves that in the upcoming year, that we would learn, we would love, and we would find peace, all in and through Jesus the Christ. We thank you for the gift of life. Now, the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.